and welcome to the Super Rugby Round 5 preview brought to you by Driving Maul. Hi, I'm Paul, the guy behind Driving Maul, your best place for predictions and opinions. And you know what? Probably the hardest thing this week, and actually over the next few weeks, is going to be figuring out which games are actually happening and which games aren't, because of that whole Corona or COVID-19 or 17 or whatever it's called. Yes. And joining me, a man who hasn't got coronavirus and hopefully isn't even drinking Corona, is Ashwin. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay, if spinning round and round, but we won't go into the details on that.
Right,
but
round.
It's okay because I'm getting Spates virus.
Like a record, baby. Right, round.
I might start throwing up if you go there, so we better not.
That's not okay. Right then, let's kick off. First game of the weekend is the Highlanders versus the Rebels. Now, for those of you who've done a little bit of stuff online, formatting, you know, formatting is everything. So, put simply, this is not how you format text, the Highlanders. So if you go onto the Highlanders website and look up the news release or press release, all you get is one paragraph of text in one block. There's no formatting, nothing at all. Not very easy to read. Come on, folks, up your game, please. Your social media folks, because that is appalling.
I know somebody who's been a guest of the show. I don't think Ryan, who's also been like not necessarily with the website, but just with the releasing of the team, team naming, and it's just like, oh, where's it going to pop up today?
Well,
it's going to be on Facebook. It's going to be on Twitter.
The Crusaders change where they pop it up all over the place. The Blues will release things at like 43 minutes past. You're like, guys, you either release things on the hour or at half past, not 43 minutes past. How are we supposed to keep track of all this kind of stuff if you're just going to randomly press send, or you come back from your long boozy lunch, go, oops, forgot to send the team out. So yes, come on, guys, up your social media game, because for those of you that follow the Real Mike Pullman, New Zealand Rugby is going to announce tomorrow that it made a multi-million dollar loss. Surprise, surprise. They've been saying they're going to make a loss for a while now. This shouldn't come as a surprise. And they've gone and got McKenzie in or someone in to say how they should be making changes to New Zealand Rugby. And as always, it's going to be, oh, here's a structural change. Guys, no, it's not about structural change. It's about engaging the public. That's what you need to change.
This thing called marketing.
Yes. And I
don't know if they've heard of it. Have you heard of marketing?
And try marketing to the 20% of your followers who are in New Zealand, not the 80% that live overseas as well. Maybe, just maybe. Anyway.
And maybe not focus putting all your eggs in one all-black basket.
Oh, dear. So, great way to start the show is always, as always, is with a rant. So, welcome to the the rant. But let's run through the lineup for the Highlanders then. So, Daniel Lennart-Brown, Ash Dixon, and Tokalahi are the front row. Parity, Wetton in the engine room. Ben Nicholas, Len Cheese, who's captaining, and Makieli are your loose trio. Aaron Smith will be partnering Mitch Hunt in the 9-10 combination. Joshuani and Rob Thompson are your 12 and 13 again. And then on the wings, Nariki, Mackay, and Collins at fullback. On the bench, you've got Coltman, Johnston, and Thwaites for the front row. Selby, Rickety, and Hunt are the rest of the pack. Then we've got Hamilton, Walden, and Scott Gregory for a rare appearance. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. Just for completeness. Now, Brewer, Parkinson, Dixon, and Amanga Jensen are all unavailable for one reason or another. There you go. That's the lineup. They're persisting with this Joshuani at 12. Do you think that's a good move?
Look, it's interesting. I mean, let's just for a second before I think it's a good move or not. Aaron Major's talking about the fact that, it's a good move for Joshuani because it puts him in line for the All Blacks number 12 slot position. Yeah. The timing was perfect, wasn't it? Just as you take a mouthful of grape juice, and it's like, yeah, right. That's like cue the tui ad. You're right. Is it a good move? Look, I for them, yes. I don't think it's not a bad move. Lots of double negatives in there. Yeah, look, for me, it creates defensive difficulties for them. That's the biggest issue. But in saying that, it does give them, if once it starts to click and gel and the like, in terms of an attacking side of things, two really good playmakers at 10-12 jerseys working together could work. Yeah, so look, for them, I think it's a good option to persist with, actually.
Okay.
Just the defensive frailty. I mean, like, oh, geez, I remember watching one of the games for them, and it's just like you could see what the opposition were doing. That they're attacking that 10 channel.
Now, the let's okay. So just I'm just going to have a quick chat around this All Blacks piece for this because look, the attack coach under the previous regime was a guy called Ian Foster, who is now the head coach. Now, I can't imagine that he's about to totally reinvent the attack structures of the All Blacks. And basically, the way that they get two playmakers in is to have playmakers at 10 and 15, with the 15 being able to interject themselves, either playing left and right or interject themselves into the line at second receiver or whatever. It's not to have playmakers in the 10-12 positions, which is the other option of getting two playmakers on there. And that 12 jersey has been with players like Sonny Bill Williams, Crotty, who have both gone, obviously, but Goodhue, Laumapi. None of those players are playmakers. I mean, sure, they can, they've got good hands, they can pass, don't get me wrong, but they're not playmakers in the Joshua Waini mold. It makes abs if they're trying to say, oh, we'll try and improve his chances to make the All Blacks, then play him at 15, not at 12.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking the same thing. It's just like, yeah, playing at 15 would be the better option for him. The best option for him is actually to play at 10. He was in the All Blacks radar, ahead of Mitch Hunt, well ahead of Mitch Hunt. Brett Cameron was ahead of Mitch Hunt. So, Joshua Waini is, if you're that young kid there, and Aaron Major's trying to tell you, oh, play 12, mate, play 12. You could break into the All Blacks there. This is like Laumapi, Goodhue, and you'd have to say a little bit of a disaster with the World Cup. You can see the fact that they're going to have to address the issue of where they thought 12 was the Black 12 jersey was going, and realize Laumapi is the future number 12 there,
Well,
or that style of player. But that's a different night for
we'll see
different
what they go with.
teams.
I think they'll go with Goodhue and Leonard Brown, but yeah, I do not see them suddenly bringing in a Damian McKenzie or a Joshua Waini at 12. That's not on the that's not been on the radar at all. So, but apart from that, look, this the Highlanders have done okay, but you're right. It's definitely a channel that teams will target and run down. The looking we'll have a look at the Rebels in a second, but luckily for them, it's not the same as having Esterhazen for the Sharks, who was doing it a couple of weeks ago. It's so it's perhaps not so bad there. Looking at Jesse Paratici at number four, ooh, he's a bit of a light number four. But then again, I think we've got locking problems across the New Zealand franchises on that note for depth. So it doesn't surprise me with Parapari Parkinson out. It's probably as good as they can good as they can get. This is pretty much a first choice lineup for the Highlanders. This is yeah. There's no kind of rotation, etc. They're taking this game. They know they need to win this game to have any chance. So yeah, decent lineup. Expect Mitch Hunt to be trying to control things as he does. And I guess the big Collins very stable and good defensively. He's not going to make mistakes, but he's not the attacking talent that having a Ben Smith or a Josh Mackay back there is. And that does stifle their attack a little bit.
I'm surprised, that they're not utilizing Josh Mackay more, because at the end of the day, he's quite a look. You look at him at Mitre 10 level. You look at him last year with the few moments opportunities he did get at Super Rugby level. He's a really good player. He's got some real good gas. But as funny as Cornflakes commented on Twitter last week, it's just like, all the pace that the players seem to have seems to disappear when they play the Crusaders. Because Josh McKay had a couple opportunities to make breaks and he seemed to get run down, which we haven't seen in New Zealand rugby, because he's got wheels.
He has got wheels.
And so I'd be putting him there at the back, because
I think it's just, this is a sign that they just that the Highlanders do not trust their wingers. They've got one good winger in Nariki, and then they've played Walden in that 14 jersey. We've got we've got McKay in there now. Walden is a 13. McKay is more a 15. If you look at the bench, Walden's a centre. Scott Gregory again. He's more a 15 than a winger. I really think that the Highlanders just don't trust their wings at the moment, unfortunately, and they're trying to get the best 15 on the park rather than necessarily the best team or the best kind of best player per position on the park, which is a bit of a shame. But definitely. I mean, McKay definitely needs game time, as you say. Wrong jersey,
yep.
But that seems to be the entire back line pretty much for the Highlanders. Just about
for the season.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we obviously mentioned Ben Smith. Ben Smith's the obvious one that they're missing, but I actually think that they're also missing, and I think I briefly talked to you about this during the week, and it's the old Barracuda, Richard Buckman. You know, hugely underrated, but he just straightened their attack up hugely, and defensively he was massive for them as well. So I actually think that they're missing him to a degree as well.
Yep, no, agreed. Yep, he was a big part for them. Very true. So let's look at the Rebels then. Hodge is still out. So it's Gibbon, Rangi, Ainsley across the front row. Coldenberg, Philip in the locks. Cotterill, who's vice-captain. Hardwick and Nazarani are the loosies. Lorenz, scrum half with Matt Tamua, also vice-captaining as well. So it's how many captain? So how many chiefs and zero workers in this team? You've then got Billy Meeks and Tom English in the centres, and Corabetti, Kellaway, Dane Hellett-Petty are your back three. Coming off the bench, Uliezi, Oro, Elof, Ross, Hellett-Petty, Leota are the forwards. Lamani, Wells and Deegan are the backs replacements. So looking at Billy Meeks running down that channel, he's not the biggest of centres, but he's a good footy player. And if you look at this side, with him, with Kellaway, with Tamua, Hellett-Petty, they've got a lot of good footballers in that back line that just don't seem to be gelling at the moment.
Absolutely. I was going to say, look, their starting lineup, even when you go through the forwards, jumping to the forwards there as well, I mean, across the team, they've actually got some good players there. I mean, they've got a lot of the core from last year sort of thing. I mean, obviously they lost the Gregan.
The Gregan brothers.
Genia from last year and the like. But across the team, they've got some, even in the forward packs, you've got the back line there, as you mentioned, with Tamua, who's a Wallaby, and then Hellett-Petty at the back, Corabetti. Good strike forces there, good solid centre pairing. And then as you move into the forwards, you've got Nisarani running off the back of the scrum really well. I suppose you've got a bit of an unproven middle row, but off the bench you've got Ross Hellett-Petty, who'll come on there in the second row, I believe.
Yep.
So I think where they'll be weak and where they'll probably end up costing them the game, which we'll come to a sec, but is the bench. They seem to be light on the bench.
Yeah, they do. Now, the Rebels lost to the Sunwolves in their opening game. Clearly,
yep,
there are some pretty big issues going on here around this, around just gelling this side. And Vessels is doing it, is having a real hard time with it for some reason. As you say, a lot of this, sure, the Genia Quade Cooper axis is gone. So your decision making axis of Lawrence and Tamua is brand new. But aside from that, this is a team that's been around for a while now. They should be getting to know each other. So, yeah, if those two can settle into those jerseys, then I think this Rebels team should cause someone some problems. I'm waiting for them to prove it, because at the moment it's on paper, but it's not on the pitches, not on the pitch.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's going to be interesting, because I think looks like so Oh, actually, no. No, I was going to say one of the hookers was out for the Highlanders, but they're not. Sorry, my bad. But I don't know the locking combination for the Rebels at all. But as you've alluded to with the Highlanders, with Pareti at in their second row, they could be down on power.
Yep.
So it could be an area where the Rebels could look to try and challenge the Highlanders at set piece in the scrums and the like.
Yeah, so I've gone Highlanders by five. What's your feeling on this one?
Oh, look, it's been a crazy old time for the Highlanders when you consider they lost, as you said, to the Sharks quite convincingly in the first round. Then they go in round and beat up the Brumbies at home, who beat the Chiefs. So I'm gonna stick with the Highlanders being at home. And as you say, the Rebels going down to the Sunwolves didn't do too badly against the Sharks last week, but. Yeah, I think the Highlanders, like, within less than seven.
Yep. Moving on then to the next game. We have the Waratahs hosting the Lions. Quick look at the Tars side. So Bell, Abel, Johnson, Holmes across the front row. Staniforth and Simmons, who's captaining in the engine room. Swinton, Hooper and Dempsey in the back row. So Hooper in number seven jersey. Perhaps a balanced back row there for a change. Gordon and Harrison are the decision-making pair. You got Hunt and Newsom in the centres with a back three of Maddox, Noah Quintese and Beale, which means that Kata has been given the week off. On the bench, Fitzpatrick, Robertson, Faulkner for the front row replacements, McCauley and Holloway, and then we've got Short, Fichetti and Ram. Short might be Fichetti's a fly. I'm not sure if they're playing a 6-2 there or not. But anyway, on that one. So Jake Gordon will earn his 50th cap this one, while Curtly Beale will become the most capped player for this fixture with 11 caps. To me, it comes down to a lot to Curtly Beale and whether he's got his decision-making hat on, because his decision-making this season has been poor, but they have been able to get him into space.
Look, I mean, I sort of think you're right. The Waratahs have been, when we talk about the Highlanders not gelling, Waratahs are probably even less gelling, tell you the truth, with the players that they've got at their disposal. I think they've got issues there at the Waratahs, even with Rob Penny coming in as coach. They keep looking at these Canterbury Crusaders coaches coming in and being their saviours for their teams, but Daryl Gibson before him and now Rob Penny, it's struggling there at the Waratahs. You'd sort of start to think, is it a bit of player power issue there?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, to be fair, it's still early days to judge Penny, but they are 0-4 so far this season.
It is early days. You're absolutely right. It's just the way that they're playing is just, not great.
So I think they're close to clicking if a couple of players can get their decision making right and their heads up.
I think you hit that nail on the head with Beale, isn't it? I mean, like he's as part of, in terms of his attack. And Waratah's attack, Beale forms a big part of that if it's going to be successful.
Yeah, very true. The Sharks, we don't have a lineup for, but we have, but they have
Lions.
Impressed, I think, a lot of us this season, Lion. Particularly defensively. Go on, what do you say?
You said Sharks, it'd be the Lions.
Oh, sorry, no, wrong game, exactly. I'm sorry, I'm jumping all over it. Sorry, the Lions have announced their team announcement. I'm going to share my screen so you can see what a wonderful job Amy Bester has done on the Sharks Rugby...
Lions?
Sorry, the Lions. The Lions Rugby Company website. The official Lions Company... Lions Rugby Company. Hey, who calls their rugby team a rugby company? And that's what their website says. It's just absolutely nuts. So, here we go. Here is their announcement. I'll just scroll through. And as you can see, it is just a table of names with absolutely no explanation whatsoever or any commentary around why these players have been selected. And every other team seems to be able to do it. But no, not the Lions. Seriously, boys, or lady, actually, in this case, please step up and improve it. Anyway,
Smith,
Campos, Sadie in the front row, Schumann, Ori in the engine room, another Schumann, Tishuka and Masai in the Lucy's, Warner and Yanchi's the 9 and 10. You've got Creel and Ras in the centres, a back three of Ulenga, Green and Kuetsi. Off the bench, Janssen, don't want to say, Sittol, I'll be nice, Van Wyk, Willem Alberts, Vin Sloed, Damanti, Van Berg and Simulane. Now, yeah, if you were to put this up against the Lions side from 2 years ago, there's only about two names on here that maybe three names that you'd recognise.
I was sort of going to say I was going to plead the fifth. It's just like, I'm really struggling. I mean, Yanchi's at 10, is obviously a name. Creel, is a name, but D Creel, we know,
yeah,
a J Creel.
Different Creel, yeah, not just
exactly. Creel. So, the Schumann, the only reason I know Schumann is because, my boss in my previous job was, a Schumann from the High Veld. But I'll be honest, this is like, these names mean absolutely nothing to me, and I haven't seen a lot of the Lions games either. So I really couldn't tell you much or be of much input on this game, or for them anyway.
So basically, the Lions have had got one win this year. I think it was over the Reds, whereas the Waratahs have got zero. Look, at the end of the day, this game is not going to impact who makes the playoffs. All right? We're already round five. This is a dead rubber that doesn't mean anything, which is sad to say, but it is. I'm going with the Tars at home to get their first win of the season. Now, to be fair, the Lions in the past have used Tars to get their season on track. If we go back 4 years, that's how they really announced themselves, sort of winning in places like Hamilton. Against the Chiefs, etc. So they have shown in the past they can tour. The problem is this team just does not have the same names and does not have the same depth and experience that even those teams with, okay, we didn't know the players as well back then, but they've been playing for a couple of years together in the Curry Cup, etc. And had some rugby under their belt. This side, yeah, really, I think is going to take at least this year to build up.
So, gel or to get the team together and build.
Yeah.
It's a building year.
So I'm going Tars by three, not with a lot of confidence because I say they've been pretty poor as well.
Yep. I was going to go with the Tars basically just on the fact that they're playing at home. So, and I think this, as I said, this, it's Lions. Oh, no, actually they played, was it, did they play the Reds? They played the Reds away or?
No, they beat the Reds at home. That was their this is their first game on tour.
Yeah, it's the first game on tour. Okay, yeah. So yeah, going with the Tars on this one.
Yep. Then we have, now this is going to be a shocker for everyone in New Zealand. There is no 7 o'clock game on Saturday. Okay, folks, there is no Saturday evening Super Rugby game. This is the first time since I've lived in New Zealand that there's not been a 7:30. Well, it used to be 7:30. Now it's 7:35. Now it's 7:05. This is the first time I can remember there is not a Saturday evening Super Rugby game. Absolutely shocked. The Hurricanes have taken their game and playing it earlier at 5 o'clock, or 5:30, I think it is, something like that, against the Sunwolves. And they've headed off to Hawke's Bay for this one. And they decided they will only select one player from Hawke's Bay, and all the other Hawke's Bay players they'll leave out this week. What?
Well, you have to put your top lineup out there because you're up against the Sunwolves.
No, look, you're going to Hawke's Bay. You play the local boys. You try and get a good crowd. You entertain the crowd. Again, marketing, folks. Hello.
Yeah, but this whole thing, like, you know, 7:45 kickoff. What is the logic behind the 7:45 kickoff? I can't see any.
7:05.
And, you know, when we come back to the marketing issues that our that their leader and the NZRFU is having. Why? This doesn't make any sense. It's just like 7 o'clock is actually a good kickoff time on a Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah. Why do a 4:45 kickoff instead?
4:45. Yeah. No, it doesn't make sense. So I'm confused. The only other thing is that like they've got the they've got development blues against the Hurricane development side on beforehand. I tweeted your mate Martin at Sky to say, hey, look, the cameras are there. Can you put it on? I haven't heard back from him yet.
Oh dear. I'll get in the blower straight away and ask him. Oh dear. So yeah, so that's yeah, I understand people want afternoon footy and all that kind of stuff, but you need to, if people Kiwis expect to settle down at 7 o'clock on a Friday evening and a Saturday evening and watch a game of Super Rugby. And
Well,
that's
the thing is around afternoon footy at the moment is the fact is that it's still summer, so it's kicking off at 7 o'clock is basically afternoon footy. If it's raining in the afternoon, it won't make a difference if it's raining in the evening. And at the moment, when they're starting the games, and they by the time they're finishing, it's the last rays of the sun are just disappearing.
Sorry. Well, there you go. There's our little rant there of the latest marketing faux pas. So Namua, Amua, Lomax are the front row. Blackwell, Scrafton in the engine room. Fifita, Kirifi, and Evans are the back three of the Lucys. TJ and Fletcher Smith are the 9 and 10. Lamapi and Arso in the centre combination. Ben Lamb, Van Wyk, and Tia Tia are your back three. Off the bench, you've got Riccatelli, May, Fidao, Walker Laurie, and Flanders. Then you've got Tua Matine and James Marshall and Umanga Jensen are your backs replacements. So, wow, I'm not sure who Jonathan Tua Matine is. He's a new name. So a bit of an experience, but hey, this is the kind of game you want to bring those sort of play, give those sort of players their what's a bit of game time.
Yeah, when you look at that Hurricane squad, it's starting to actually look quite good. You
It's
know,
looking very
I mean,
good.
like it's well, the every time the season rolls around, it's going, oh, they're gonna struggle at scrum time because they're gonna be or a line out because of their locking shortage, so to speak. But when you look at Scott Scrafton, we know what he can bring. He's no rock star or anything, but he's a good, solid performer. I was disappointed when he left the Blues. And then you got James Blackwell out of Taranaki, which everybody sort of, have good raps on in terms of the performances that he puts in. So they've got
And
a good second row now, really, in terms of
off the bench,
good performers.
if Walker Laurie is not an All Black, in the making, then I clearly don't know anything about rugby.
Well, look, I mean, so I think he needs to just bulk up a bit more, just get that physicality on a bit more, because obviously he's a great player in the loose, with the ball skills that he has. But absolutely agree with you. So, they got four good locks there that they can rotate through. We know how good their front row is, and this week Dane Coles is out because of a calf injury, which is concerning as an All Blacks fan side of things because he seems to keep picking up these little niggles. But then in saying that, they've got Asafa Moa and Ricky Riccatelli to back him up, who again very not just journeyman players, they're good quality hookers. Amua,
Well,
again, another All Black in the making if he can stay off the KFC, and he'll get there if he does the yakka.
yeah, if he gets his head in the right place, he'll get there. Riccatelli, good Super Rugby player, will never be an international, but yeah,
No, he'll be
solid Super
but
Rugby
he's
player in the
still a
same way that Scrafton is. Yeah, look, this I've got to say, it was when they had Lamapi and Arso in those in that 12-13. That's when they won the title, I think, from memory. It was when they had those guys in the centres. Get Vince Arso in on there. This is a really solid side. Van Wyk, a little bit confused by the South African winger. So there's one or two players in there, but as a whole, this is a good team that's going to rack up a chunk of points against Sunwolves.
The only well, not question mark really. It'll just be Fletcher Smith's first sort of real run in the 10 jersey, taking over from Jackson Garden-Bashup. So it'll be interesting to see how he operates in that role. But we've seen him operate at Mitre 10 level when he moved up to Waikato from Otago, and really did turn that Waikato team around. I felt with the way that he ran the back line and ran the team around the paddock. So I don't think they're going to lose a hell of a lot by having to have him slot in place of Garden Bishop.
Yeah, he's only like his third or his fourth Super Rugby team. So I mean, he's clearly Fletcher Smith is, yeah, it, I mean, yeah, the word journeyman is starting to be used about him. He's still only young.
Young is.
So hopefully he can he can do well. He can kick off both feet, which is going to be interesting as well. So yeah, look up against them then. Adams, Brevigars, Van Wyk, Yatabi, Stolberg in the engine room, Topu, Jacobson, and Schwartz are the Lucys. Page and Ogura are the 9 and 10. Nakano, Morina is the other centre. Then on the wings, Dargaville, Fifita, and Horan at fullback. Now, this just frustrates me because, and then off the bench, Mafu, Mayhew, Van Vuren, Downey, Nonomaki, the forwards, and then off the bench, Sayato, Engelbrecht, and Tassi. What have the Sunwolves done? Well, they've gone and basically shuffled their team again. And you're like, look, you've had, was it 3-4 weeks at most of preseason? You've had three games, your fourth game, and it's your fourth lineup you sent out there. There's just no cohesion in this side at all. They're just not getting any time together. And fine, in that opening game, they came up against the Rebel side who basically were complacent, and they caught them out playing some really nice, attractive rugby. The problem is, there is no cohesion, and as soon as they come across a side that's aware they're going to get attacked, they just isn't complacent against them. They just run against a brick wall, and they just don't have the cohesion to defend properly.
Yep.
Basically,
can't add much. I mean, all I was going to add is it's the travelling Wilburys of international rugby.
And look, if they'd stuck with that first 15 that they had in the first game and just kept playing it, then fine. That's what they had to do. Look, I mean, sure, we'll talk about player welfare, we'll talk about rotation and all that kind of stuff. Look, at the end of the day, this crowd needed to put out the best 15 and just run it until it broke, basically, because otherwise they were not going to get anything out of this season. And they're not going to get anything out of this season. Already, it looks like their Brumbies game will not happen in Japan next weekend. It'll either get postponed, which effectively means cancelled, because let's be honest, there's no time to rearrange fixtures in the global calendar, or it'll get played overseas. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough old season for the Sunwolves. I'm back in the Hurricanes by 40, and I think I'm being kind.
Well, what was it? Who did they play last week? And we were looking, forgotten who they played last week.
So against the Reds, it was 64-5.
Yeah, and it was with time left, and it's like, oh, are they going to make it to 80
yep.
point a minute stuff or not? So I think there'll be no question about it this week, as long as the Hurricanes stay focused. One thing that you're starting to see, which you didn't see during the amateur era, was that during the professional era, once teams get well ahead, they seem to lose a bit of focus and some of the clinical sort of nature of their execution it seems to disappear a bit. So that's where you sort of think, oh, it's going to be easy 80-point game, and then all the next thing you know, they only win – it's 50-point game, 60-point game sort of thing. So, but I think if the Hurricanes maintain their focus, yeah, they'll hit the 80.
Yeah, the reviewer says it's the same front row that started each week along with Stolberg. Maybe so, but the rest of the team has been changing. They changed 9 players going to that Reds game and unsurprisingly got absolutely thumped. And again, the 10-12 combination has changed again. Yeah, I can't see them surviving. And that's sad. It really is. Moving on from that game, then we have the Reds versus the Sharks. Now, the Sharks, this time I can say Sharks and mean it, have not announced their squad yet.
No, you mean Lions.
So, yes, really sad. Just come on, Sharks, get your act together. The Reds, though, JP Smith, Maffey, Topu, Rodder and Hockings in the engine room, Scott Young, Liam Wright is the captain, Wilson at 8, McDermott and O'Connor are the 9-10 combination, Stewart and Pearson-Me are the centres with Spate, Falau-Sotia and Campbell are the other back three. In the off the bench, we've got Craig, Hoppett, Nasser for the front row replacements, Salakai Lotto and McWright, are the rest of the front row replacements. Malu Ula, Lucas, and Degunu are your backs replacements. It really looks like they've settled on O'Connor now as the as the 10. And actually, that I was totally against it early when it first happened, to be honest with you. But to be fair, O'Connor stood up, played well, and they've gone for that dual playmaker situation of him and Stewart, and it seems to be working for them.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest with you. I'm still the jury's out on the Reds. They're looking like they're going to have a better season than they did last year. Not too difficult, but yeah, the forward pack looks solid enough. They look pretty consistent that they've had for the last couple of years now, especially with the likes of Arrotta in there that have, a good experienced player now. The front row as well. Obviously, the Taniela Tupou. Just getting better and better, and they're obviously starting him because they have used him quite often off the bench to bring that impact when everybody's tiring. So you've got a solid forward pack, even with James O'Connor at 10. It just feels like their back line's a bit inexperienced. I know they got Speight on the wing as well, but it just feels like there's a lack of experience. I'm sort of, even though the Sharks haven't said who they're playing, I'm sort of like thinking the Sharks. They've had a pretty good tour. They've tipped up the Highlanders. They've beaten the Rebels. Not that the Rebels are much shake, but I'm sort of thinking that I think the Sharks might just have it in the tank on this one.
Yeah, losing Petaia was a massive loss to this Reds team, to be honest, in that 13 jersey. He's class. It's really sad. That's the second season in a row now he's gone down, so I'm a bit worried about being a bit glass, but hopefully he rectifies that. Yep, I agree. I've gone Sharks by how many? Yeah, Sharks by seven for me in this one. They've got two wins out of three, and the only one they lost was because Bosch went home for family reasons. I think he's with a bereavement in the family. Now, I think he's sticking around for this game. And if he is, then for me, yep, this Sharks team will win this game. They are, look, just like a lot of teams this season, the Sharks have got depth in certain places. In other places, they're a bit thin. And that number 10 jersey is where they're thin. Let's be blunt. So if Bosch is there, then they're looking good. If he's not there, then they're not. Now, I'm not saying he's better than all the other players. I'm just saying the drop off between him and the next player is just massive for the Sharks, whereas other positions, a drop off isn't quite so big. But yeah, so me, yep, Sharks for this one all day. Now, just a reminder, folks, I'll be doing a live post-match reaction to that Highlanders versus Rebels game. Probably not to the Hurricanes one, unfortunately. And so, to make sure you don't miss that, go down below, subscribe, and don't forget to hit the bell.
No,
You won't forget to. That way, you won't miss any videos on the channel.
What are you doing?
I live in the Waikato.
It doesn't matter. You don't have to drink the You don't have to drink Waikato draft just because you live in the Waikato.
Yeah, well, no, I don't do that. No, come on, there's levels, right? After that, with the Stormers hosting the Blues over in South Africa, no team news for either of these two. But I
Probably
think
come out overnight, won't it?
it'll come out overnight. But let's be honest, the Stormers 4-0, the Blues not. Now, look, to be fair to the Blues, look, they got up over the Bulls last weekend, but the Bulls is a team in transition. The Storms are looking like the top side in South Africa. I can't see the Blues winning this one.
I think, I mean, like you say, you go with the Stormers being the favourites. There's no doubt about that. I mean, when you look at the TAB at I think it's $1.30 to $3.30 or something like that. So it's definitely up against it for the Blues. But when you sort of look at it, they've got a starter's chance for sure on this one. I think they played quite well. Although I saw parts of the game from last week. I didn't watch the whole thing. I just did the old fast forward through it, and but it was like they actually there was parts of the game which were actually quite good, and they'll need to bring it, and if they can, then there is a chance that they could do what the Chiefs, sorry, the Brumbies did to the Chiefs. So you got to keep that in mind as well. So when you look at the Stormers, they've won 4-0, but their wins have been, there's the Hurricanes aside, they haven't been massive wins. sort of thing. Even against the Bulls, it was 13-0. So yeah, look, I mean, as you said, you won't get past the Stormers, but I think the Blues have got a shot if they decide to turn up and perform like they can.
Yeah, look, it's very different to the okay, the Brumbies taking on the Chiefs. What they managed to do is play possession rugby and starve the Chiefs of the ball. And the Chiefs are an attacking team. This Stormers side is not an attacking team. Okay, they've only given up 37 points all season. 30 of those were in one game against the Lions, which just went mental. For the other four games, they've given up 7 points, which is just crazy. They've only scored 90, which is less than the Sharks or the Jaguares. It's less than the Brumbies, the Reds, and the Melbourne Rebels. And yeah, it's less than. Oops, trying to find
the pretty much everybody.
It's less than the Blues, Chiefs, or the Crusaders. So look, they don't score many points, right? But they don't let many in. So if the Blues can make this a high scoring game and basically make it a bit more of a basketball score rather than a soccer score, then they're in with a chance, because this Stormers side doesn't have many points in it, but it generally doesn't let the opposition score points either, and so that's what it's going to. So yeah.
If I was Steve and I was a betting man, I'd probably put a lazy tenner on the Blues.
Oh, well, my $2 has gone on the Sharks by, on the Stormers by 7. I'm having a shocker tonight knowing which team I'm talking about, aren't I? Or with names anyway.
Have another glass of wine. That's the problem.
Yeah, I need another three.
You need another glass, yeah.
So the Bulls then host the Jaguares. Look, I like the Bulls. The Bulls are a fantastic social media team. They actually put their squad out early. And they write up. They really write up with lots of information about what's going on and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. Congratulations, Warwick Gallant, on his 50th cap. He will be, obviously, at the fullback. But let's go from the forwards first. Mboka, Vize, Nyanke are the front row. Ferreira, Kruger are in the engine room. Van Staden, Strauss and Rudolph are the loosies. Pepier gets his first start of the season with Mornay Stern, of course. And then, is it really worth mentioning anyone outside of Mornay Stern? Because, hey, let's be honest, he never kicks. He just kicks the ball. So anyway, but outside him then, Kuertsi and Tuivasa, who Crusaders fans will know in the centre, because we've got a Tongan centre playing for a South African side. And we've also got, obviously, the Stormers. We've got a Welsh centre playing there. Oh, wow. They've gone so cosmopolitan this year. It's amazing. Speckman, Hendricks and Gallant, the back three. Look, that back three can cause problems if they get the ball, but they never do. Els, Steenkamp, Herberts are the front row replacements. Naughty, Steenkamp are the other front row replacements. Van Zyl, Limbok and Rosso are the backs replacements. So this is a team in transition. They are rebuilding, a mixture of young and old, with that Mornay Stern in there and Papier inside him. So it's an interesting side, and it's one that so far is struggling to find its patterns.
Yep. Interesting enough, when you look at the I was just reading something from the chat room. The interesting thing when you look at their Bulls lineup, there's some decent players across their squad there. So you sort of think that they are underperforming for some of the cattle. See what I did there? that they have. Just it's interesting, as you see, your Tuivasa, Nafi Tuivasa, who's via the Crusaders, via Tonga. From North Shore of Auckland, I believe, if I'm correct. He's from Auckland, but I think he played Harbour. Now playing for the Bulls, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes in defence, because as you've already mentioned, probably won't get the ball in attack. So Mornay will kick it to the corners. But as I said, there's actually some. You look at Speckman. If they can give him a bit of ball with a bit of space, maybe he can actually do something.
Yeah, if they can get the shapes right and get the ball out, they've got some attacking things.
That's I think what's the shame about last week's game with the Blues was the weather conditions were, you know, very un-Pretoria like. The ground was heavy; it was cutting up.
Oh, it's a disgrace.
I think it was absolutely. Every time a scrum was put down, it was cutting up. And that's what I sort of think. It was a shame because I would have liked to have seen a dry track, because to me it felt like the Bulls, even though it's mentioned, like there's some names there that actually are decent players. I think the weather kept them in the game last week, tell you the truth.
Yeah, now the thing that might keep them in the game this week is the ambulance, because here's the players that aren't available for the Jaguars. At two, we have Creevy. At four, Alemano. Six, we've got Santa Cruz, Otago, Desio, and Montanaga across the Lucys. Cabelli and Etsikura, the two scrum halves, are missing. Carreras and Delgi, the two wingers, missing. And then Orlando and Castro in the centres as well. So that's what, 11 players missing for the Jaguares. And when you're on tour and you lose both your scrum halves, you're in a little bit of trouble. Let's be blunt. We don't know what the bench is going to be like, but the bench is going to be interesting from the Jaguares. Paul Tate is where I'm getting this information from on Twitter, or Argentina_2027. He wants them to have the Rugby World Cup, if you want to know. So looking at the training formation, which is pretty close to the sort of starting line normally. Schiaparo, Montoya, Scavelli are the front row. Petchi and Kramer in the engine room. Gorison, Lozana, Brunei are the Lucys. Bertino, Bonilla are the 9 and 10. Then you got De La Fuente, Moroni in the centres with Buffelli, Cancellari and Carreras in the backs. Now, yeah, Morne Stern does not want to be kicking to that back three, put bluntly. So if the Bulls can get the ball in hand, they're in the shout. If they don't,
look out.
But for the Jaguares, if Bertrano goes down injured early doors, they're in real trouble. Onto their fourth choice scrum half, who's just flown out from Argentina, they're in real trouble.
You're saying that the weather, were you just in jest when you're saying the weather conditions are going to be similar this week?
I don't know, to be honest.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, I sort of think, look, I mean, if it's fine, then even with all the injury problems, I think apart from the halfback issue, you're sort of thinking, oof, Bulls are in trouble.
So I'm just bringing up Johannesburg weather on the old
Pretoria weather.
Google. Sorry?
Pretoria weather.
Pretoria weather. It's close enough, isn't it?
No, there's a fair distance between them.
They're within driving distance.
Driving distance.
That, well, 17 degrees and, up to a, 40, 50. No, there is a good chance it's going to be wet.
Oh.
It's not going to be that hot and it's going to be wet. Under 20 degrees and a good chance it's going to be wet this weekend. So we might see the same kind of weather. That's Joburg. As you say, Pretoria might be different.
Yeah. I think it's 300 kilometres away from Joburg, I think, off the top of my head.
It's the closest, or it's one of the close. It's the second closest. They've got rain as well. It's a bit hotter. It'll be 20 or just over, but good chances of rain. Not quite as bad as Joburg, to be honest, but chances of rain for this weekend. Weather could keep them in it. Let's be honest. Again, we're talking about depth of squad. Even Jaguares, who are effectively the Argentinian national team, let's be honest, even they're struggling once you get a couple of scrum halves injured. It's going to come down to that starting nine playing at least 70 minutes.
Yeah, look, it's interesting you're talking about injuries across squads, and I'm sort of looking at some of the New Zealand based teams, and it's just like, geez. Chiefs are a classic one. They're fragile as a stained glass window, because like front line All Blacks go down and they've got nothing, no cover really in behind it. Even the Crusaders, actually, they're actually quite thin on the surface of it. They've got a very, very strong, as everybody knows, a very strong starting 15 and even a match day 23. But if you start going a little bit deeper than that, you scratch that surface, then even them sort of like could have some questions asked them.
I think that's
And
across, yeah, I think that's across all the Super Rugby times, just the Super Rugby sides.
yeah.
Looking at the three sides got byes. I've gone Haguari's by three, because of those injuries.
Yeah, I actually think Higuaín's by seven, within the seven, was seven actually.
There we go. So Crusaders, Chiefs, and Brumbies all having a bye this weekend. The Chiefs, all three sides going well so far this season. The Chiefs arguably need the bye the most. In some ways, to get over that loss from the Brumbies, they just didn't get off the they didn't get off the coach for that one, and the Brumbies played really well and deserved the win. All three teams had a really good start, and they've say they were having a week off. Three good coaching setups in there, so I'm sure they'll all use the week constructively. Whereas some of the other teams, you look at them and go, oh, "Don't take a week off. Get them, just keep them playing. Just don't let the
Keep
coaches
them
do
going.
too much."
Well, the teams that have got the week off this week are all playing golf down at the New Zealand Open, and the pro it's a pro-am tournament, I believe. So
Oh, really?
playing golf there. Even and that's where Geordie is as well. So he's not playing for the Hurricanes, who don't have a bye, but he's joining Bowden down at the New Zealand Golf Open in Queenstown.
Well, there you go. But they are only playing the summer war, so it's kind of like a bye week for them.
Yeah.
So,
An opposed training run, I
an
think, is the
opposed
term.
So, look, head over to drivingmall.com for predictions of written up predictions for Super Rugby, the Pro 14, the Guinness Premiership, the Top 14, and Major League Rugby. It's all up there. Next week, I'll also have Six Nations as well. So head over there for that. Also over there, I've released my video this morning, actually, talking about the future of Super Rugby and what it's going to look like. That's for supporters only. But look, you can be a supporter for $1 a month. It really is not much. It's, a couple of coffees a year, and that's all it takes. And you can get access to all of that kind of stuff. So head over to drivingmall.com and check it out, please. I'll be back tomorrow night after the Highlanders versus the Rebels with you, bring you post-match reaction. That might be the only one of the weekend. Wow. And then next week, we'll be back to obviously Monday night. We'll review the weekend. Tuesday will be Hash Rugby Chat, and Thursday again will be previewing the next round of Super Rugby. So 8 p.m. For all of those shows. As I say, down below, click the subscribe button and hit that bell so you get notifications. Thank you very much, Arsene, for joining me.
Yep, that's been great again, and I'll see you on Tuesday, I think.
See you on Tuesday. Okay, I'll see you Tuesday.